every time I put it in the pocket, it goes off. So there we go. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter number 1. How many of you got a Bible, close to a Bible, could have a Bible? How many of you wish you had a Bible? Brandon, give him a Bible. Philippians, I messed with Brandon all last week. I'm not going to do that again. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Stand with us if you would this morning. Philippians chapter number 1. Crazy computer up here trying to tell me about the football game. Must have hit the button there. So Philippians chapter number 1. Look at we'll read these again. Verse 19. We're going to read through. This will be our last time in these verses, Lord willing. Verse 26. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for to me live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, I don't know, for I'm in a strait. Literally, I'm hemmed up between two rocks, like walking in a cliff. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, to keep living, is more needful for you, having this confidence. I know that I shall abide and continue with you all, for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Joy in difficult circumstances. We're looking at this third part this morning. We're going to pray together. Father, thank you for your love to us. Thank you for speaking to hearts. Lord, I pray even now that in all this, you'd get honor and glory. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross, for your precious blood. Thank you for your nail-scarred hands. Lord, what marvelous music today. God, thank you that you are worthy. Lord, help us to emphasize that this morning. And Father, as we talk about this, Lord, would you be great big? And Lord, would this preacher be real small? God, would you help us this morning to spotlight you and be happy and thrilled about what you're doing? And God, would you remind us, teach us, inspire us, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain? Oh, how we need that this morning. We love you and we thank you for loving us. I pray all this in your Son's precious name. And amen. You can be seated. Be seated. One of the problems with getting older, I understand, is that you might repeat yourself. What I said was, one of the problems of getting older is that you might repeat yourself. I must not be on up here. I thought that was pretty clever. I wrote it down twice. And I thought I'd at least get a chuckle out of you. And it's a little corny. And my nana, my mom's mom, was infamous, not famous. Infamous. For restarting a story she had not told 30 minutes ago. And if you caught her on it, like when we were real small, and you said, Nana, you've already told us that story, she'd not only give you the story again, she'd lecture you. So it just wasn't worth the trouble. And she was one that you needed to be looking at her. You needed to give her your attention and all. And, oh, my soul, she came to our house. One time I was graduating from high school, and she came for a week, and so she had to visit all my dad's family, and everywhere she went, they'd say, how you doing? And I go, no, because I knew what she was about to do, because a few weeks before they left, there had been a bad storm come through in West Palm Beach, and this is, you know, ever how many years ago now, and there had been a big wind, and one of their branches had fallen out of the tree, and then it hailed, and when it hailed, it tore up the shed in the back, and the insurance company wasn't paying what they were supposed to. And they had to get them out there, and they showed them that, and they said, well, that's just from the pecans. And my nana said, there's no pecan trees around here. and they weren't being nice about it, and it messed up things. We had a little bit of a leak, and it got in some of the fertilizer, and it turned the fertilizer hard as a brick. And I remember about the ninth time my Nana said this, and my brother and I were over there going, "Come, Lord Jesus, even now, quickly." And she was doing this story. She left out a part, and one of us, and since he's not here, my brother, corrected my Nana. And she looked at him and said, "Well, I lost my place. I got to start over." And we're like, "Ah." My mom's husband, my stepfather, particularly toward the his latter years, would, with a twinkle in his eye, look at you in his early 80s and say, "Now, I may have told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again." He realized he didn't remember, but he didn't care. And usually he was buying dinner, so it didn't make any difference. And he'd tell us those stories and all. Part of the about preaching a series like this is I'm going, "Oh, man, everybody's back there going, Philippians again. We've had Philippians over and over and over. And it's only chapter one." I don't want you to feel that way. I want every week to be fresh and every week to be something there. I hope that you're not going, "Huh, huh." But instead, I hope line upon line, jot upon jot, tittle upon tittle, precept upon precept, God is using his word to change your lives. And as we look at these last verses here, man, I am just so amazed. Paul says, "Hey, I am rejoicing and will rejoice, and I'm telling you to rejoice." And here's why. Because just saying rejoice when life is bad, just saying rejoice when life is hard, is crazy talk, isn't it? No, it's bad. We don't have the money. We don't have this. I thought again yesterday. I don't know why I was thinking about it. Andre and I were riding around, and I was thinking about the time when we needed diapers and formula, and not only didn't have them, didn't have the money to get them for a few days, and I'm thinking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with a bad diaper for a few days? You're just thinking about those things. And to rejoice when you can't take care of your family like you want to, and it was all my fault. I mismanaged our money. You know, just, ah! And here's Paul, and he's in prison, and Epaphroditus has almost died, and he's been accused of all this stuff. And he says, "But I'm good. I'm rejoicing." Why? And again, go back. Let's just run through it. Run through it and get a running start, and we're going to hit those last verses there. He says, I'm okay because the gospel is advancing. The gospel is advancing. That's verse number 12. "I would you understand, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel." He says, like an army on the advance, like the team that would go out, the Army Corps of Engineers, and cut down things and make sure everything's just right. And the gospel is advancing because I'm in prison, because I'm chained to these two guards. And don't feel sorry for me. Rejoice, because what you thought was a bad thing, God has used it in that way. God has taken care of all these things. And man, here we are. And the gospel is advancing. He said, not only the gospel is advancing, but the gospel is being proclaimed. The cause of Christ is going forward. But what? What? I'm witnessing to the guards. He'll say at the end of chapter 4, those of Caesar's household salute you. He's winning the guards to Christ, the servants to Christ. He said, because I'm here, many are getting more excited. They are bold in their witness. Bold in witness. Nothing like adversity. Wait for it. Nothing like people responding correctly in adversity to help people be, "Hey, you know what, I can speak up for Jesus. I can do this for Jesus. I can do it." I think there's no clearer sign of that in America right now than our churches in California going, "Look, you can be as mean as you want to me as a governor. You can be as mean as you want to me in the press, but I'm telling you, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to do the right thing. If we got to move outside, we're going to do the right thing. If we're going to stay inside, we're going to do the right thing. But we're going to do this." And you've got people, they're setting out chairs there. They're having overflow crowds because people are going, "You know what? That's right. I'm going to go stand with them. They can do this. I can do this." And the gospel is being proclaimed. Philippians 1:3, he's thanking God for the people that were saved. Verse 18, he's thanking God for the preaching of Christ. You know what ought to cause you and I to rejoice is that the gospel goes forth. Bill said it, and we said it Thursday again. It's a criminal shame in the United States. People are bored with the gospel message. I mean, it's criminal. How can you be bored with the justice of God being sacrificed by the by the cross of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ. How can you be bored with the fact that I was on my way to a devil's hell, but God saved me, and now He's given me His righteousness and has forgiven me, and things are right, and He has changed. How can you be bored with that? The gospel is being proclaimed. So you can rejoice because the gospel is being proclaimed. You can rejoice because of the truths of the Bible. Because of the truths of the Bible. Excuse me. Verse 19, I know this shall turn to my salvation. I know. The word He uses there is specific. I know. See, I need help with my joy. I need help with my situation. Get in the Bible. My pastor used to say I'd read Psalms till I felt better. Every now and then he said, I felt so bad I got all the way to Proverbs. He said, I just start over. Read to you. And by the way, we kind of chuckle and we kind of laugh at that. My wife will tell you, I spent 5 years going through the Psalms without exception. Changed my life. Changed my emotional look. Changed my disposition. It changed me when I started wrapping my head around that. And we have all kind of helps for you if you have anything. But get in there. Learn the promises of the Bible. Learn the promises of the Bible. He said, I know this. I know that God is going to do this. The old truism again. I was talking about my Nana. They lived in West Palm. They always said, you can always tell a sick tree how it acts in a storm. As a young guy, I didn't catch that. He said, a sick, immature tree doesn't have roots. He said, a big wind, a big storm comes, and it just blows right over. On our road, Tommy. It was one rotten tree. They took the other two live ones out, but the guy just went ahead and did it. They cut the tree, man. It looked fine on the outside, but inside it was just rotten all to pieces. Fell over, took out the power to the neighborhood and surrounding areas and all. The guy had to get the tree surgeon out there and take care of all that stuff. I'm telling you, when difficulty comes, it shows what is packed down inside of you, and you need what the Bible says, I would think it's interesting to me. When difficulty comes, one of the first things that happens in most people's life is they leave church and get away from the teaching of the Scripture. And if they knew what was good for them, they'd be running to church. They'd be running. Man, how can I get more? How can I understand more of the Bible? He said, I know. He said, I'm confident in your prayers. This is what we did last week. I'm confident in your prayers. Your praying changes things. I'm confident you praying for me. I've gotten asked so much in the last 3 months, and I don't have a good answer for them. Preacher, do you really think last year, and then thousands of people started praying and interceding, and I hardly ever go a day I don't hear from somebody who says, I have not missed a day praying for you. I don't know. Say, do you know if you were on your way in eternity and now you're here because of prayer? I don't know, but I know what Paul said. Paul said, I believe because you were praying, God's going to change things. Because you're praying, things are going to work out. Because you're praying, the gospel's going to keep going forward. And I have joy. There's something about it. You can do lots of things. You can hand me a gift card to a steakhouse. I like that pretty fine. You can give me a nice gift. That's okay. If you can fix my hands, I'll be your buddy for life. We just have lots of things. Bobby yesterday said, Preacher, you want a biscuit? You want a donut? And I went up and kissed him right on the forehead. And, there's a lot of things. I didn't. Don't be upset. And Joy's up here going. And I didn't. Marie's like, I would have liked to have seen that. And, you tell me you're praying for me. You send me a text message praying for me. You send me an email, Instagram. You send me a note in the mail praying for me on our counter. Right now, it's beautiful orchid that just recently rebloomed and all. We've had it there, had it on the kitchen table. It's from the Huttons and all. And it came with a note praying for you, Pastor. And I don't pass it every time. I don't think, man, Joji's over there early in the morning on her face praying. Tommy, as he travels, on their face praying for us. Man, thank you for that. Paul said, this encouraged me, causes me to rejoice. He said, I rejoice because of the supply of the Spirit. I rejoice because of the supply of the Holy Spirit. God can handle it. God can give me exactly what I need. Again, that's verse 18 there, or excuse me, verse 19. The supply of the Spirit, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is able to minister to what my needs are. The Holy Spirit can work in the hearts of men. The Holy Spirit can do exactly what is needed. And I believe that He is enough. He is more than enough. And I get really excited about this point because I'm like, man, my joy quotient is low. But now I start reading the scripture and my joy quotient's getting a little higher. My well's getting a little bigger. My cup's getting a little more full as I look at this. And he says, you understand this is what's going on. And he comes to this next part, and this is where we left last week. And again, I'll do my very best not to pull a Mr. Out and my stepfather and wink at you going, I know you've heard this, but anyway, we'll be somewhere new. But he says, I can rejoice because eternal things matter most. Eternal things matter most. So what are you talking about? Glad you asked. Go down, if you would, to verse 21. We're starting verse 20. We get a little running and start. According to my earnest expectation, we said, that's the idea of stretching out the neck. Can hardly wait to see what's ahead. And my hope. My confident expectation. That in nothing I shall be ashamed. I will not bring reproach to Christ when I'm in front of Caesar on these trumped up charges. I am confident. What? With all boldness, as always, so that also Christ shall be magnified. We said, Warren Wiersbe in his great little book on this, said the telescope, remember, brings things far away near. And the microscope brings small things, makes them larger. He said, and the lost people, that's exactly what we're to be doing. We're to be making a distant Christ come near. And we're to be making a Christ that looks real small, real big. In your difficulty, you have the opportunity to magnify Jesus Christ, whether it be by life or by death. And I paused there last time on purpose because that takes a minute to get in our head. Because there's just nothing we want to trade for life. We don't want to. It's not life or, it's just life. And the truth of the matter is we want adjectives in front of life. We want easy life, happy life, money-filled life, fun-filled life, life-filled life. We want to sleep, 12 hours a day and work 2 hours a day making cotton candy. And some of you are going, that did sound pretty good. Are they hiring? Isn't that where we are and how we kind of think? Sometimes it says, for in my life or by death, wait for it. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Eternal things matter most. MacArthur in his commentary said this is the summum bonum of his life. This is the penultimate statement. Living is Christ. Dying is gain. To live is to serve Christ. To die is to be with Christ. I have two great options, and frankly, I don't know what to do. Let me give you a timeout. This is it. I really want to have joy in my life. I want to live rejoicing. And verse 21's got to be more than a verse we hit sometime in September and move on. October. It's got to be more than part of a series. It's got to become the question, what does it mean for me to live? And am I really thinking that dying is gain instead of dying, what everybody else says, is loss? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Tony Marita told the little story, fictional story. He said, can you imagine the Apostle Paul? He's chained up in any time between these praetor and these Roman elite guards. He said, and he's there, and he's in chains, and he's in this hired house, and he can have people, but it's still not like being free. And he said, they look at him, they're just tired of him, and they go, okay, here we go, what we're going to do. We don't like you, we don't like your Messiah, King Jesus, Marita says. We're going to kill you. And Paul says, hey, that'd be great. I like it. Dying is gain. Bring it on. They go, well, that didn't work. They come back a little later. On second thought, we're going to let you live. Paul goes, fantastic. For me to live is Christ, and for me to live means I get to labor and have fruit for Christ. And the guards now are thinking, man, we're chained up to a maniac. Well, we're going to let you live. We're going to make you suffer. Hey, guys, I figured out Philippians chapter 2, the sufferings of this present world are nothing compared to the glory that's to be revealed. It would fill me with joy to have any difficulty for my Jesus. Can you imagine being chained to a guy like that 12 hours at a time? Can you imagine what that would be like? Paul says, I've got this decision to make. I have this decision. What's the decision? For me to live as Christ, to die as gain. And I don't know what I ought to do. I don't know what I ought to do. If I stay and I'm alive, I have fruitful ministry. If I die, I go be with Christ. You want to rejoice? You're going to have to fix yourself in that disposition. Really rejoicing. Years and years ago, you read the sermon books from days gone by, and guys would say, hey, you people are so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I wish I could say that in 2020. But we're so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. And we got to give away the store and the farm. We got to do all kinds of things to get people to do what they're supposed to do. We get people to act like they love Jesus, man, but you can't hardly count on them. You can't hardly find them. And it's just, man, it breaks your heart because they have not embraced this. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And what's what he's saying here? I want you to see how he unpacks this. I've got just a few minutes. You're still with me? Amen? Still with me online there? Okay. Let's just look at it for a second. He says, I've got this difficult decision. Got this difficult decision. And it kind of breaks out like this. He says, I want to do this. He said, I've answered the question. For me to live is Christ, not job, not sexual pleasure. It's not money, it's not finance, it's not rebellion, it's not me, it's him. I've answered the question. Because I've answered the question, I'm struggling a little bit now. I'm struggling. He said, if I live, I've got a life worth living. If I die, it's certainly worth dying for King Jesus. And if I live, then I have a church that is worth serving. Here's the eternal perspective. Let me help you. It's missing from our lives. Not going to get more stuff. Not going to get more of these. And we don't want to serve anybody. All we want to be is served. I've watched people that I thought had better sense lose their ever-loving mind because it took 3 minutes for a waitress to get a pitcher of water to them. And if a pizza's late, we'll just be stingy with the poor guy working his third job trying to put food on the table. We're not going to tip him, not that he had anything to do with the pizza being late. We are goofy in our infatuation with comfort and the idea that we would do something. It cost us something, I believe, is part of what robs us of our joy. Selfish people are not joyful people. Somebody say amen to that. Selfish people are not joyful people. And Paul here says, I've got this. He breaks it out. Let's just look at it. I've given you three things because all my type A people want to write down the notes. Look at it here. Look at it. He says, you're in verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, in other words, I keep living, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. Old English here, I don't know. I'm in a strait, verse 23, between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Let me just give you a little time out here. There's no soul sleep here. There's no purgatory here. There's no intermediate state. There's no, I'm going to go haunt this place or whatever. And again, all the crazy stuff that's out there and all. He's simply saying what? If I die, I'm with him. If I die, I'm with Christ. Again, I've said it before. I echo one of my favorite authors and speakers who's passed on now, Robbie Zacharias. Heaven is a marvelous fringe benefit. But the glory of being a Christian is not that I die, I get streets of gold and gates of pearl and all the stuff that's there. That's the accoutrement, that's the garnish on the plate. But Christ, I get to be with Jesus Christ. That is what dying is gain means. He says, I get to be with him. You are absent from the body and present with the Lord, or you are absent from the body and you are separated from the Lord. Say, well, God and I've got our own thing worked out. No, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are becoming new. What's one of the evidences of being saved? A changed life. And part of that is a changed perspective. He says now that these eternal things matter most, matter absolutely the most. It's a life worth living. What can I do for Jesus? How can I serve Jesus? I'm going to serve Jesus. For years and years, years and years, I stopped doing this. I had to stop what I was doing. I've started now. Anybody wants to join our church, whenever they join, I always try and say the same thing. And they're going to serve here. And they're going to do this. Our most recent members, of course, Bobby and Joy, they're all plugged in. And Bobby's doing all kind of neat things and got everything organized for the work day and all that kind of stuff. And he offered me a donut, and you don't even have to tithe today. And all this, because why? Because for years and years, somebody wanted to join. We went, okay. Now, man, if you want to jump in, man, you need to jump in, find something to do. Find something to do. Find some way to be a blessing. Find some way to get in and get involved and go forward and do that. Why? Because to live for Jesus is a life worth living. He said, if I stay alive, I don't want to do something for him. I plan to serve him. I plan to make the dent and the difference for him. I think joyfulness comes from living for Jesus. See, I expect you to say that. You watch the emptiness in the lives of people who only live for themselves. Just watch it. Absolutely watch it. Can't be satisfied. Can't be satisfied with any amount of money. Can't be satisfied with any amount of alcohol. Can't be satisfied with any amount of drugs. Can't be satisfied with any amount of sexuality. You watch it. That emptiness that eats at them. But I'm telling you, to know Christ as Savior and live for him as Lord is a life worth living. It's a death worth dying. You can't scare me with going to be with Jesus. It's a death worth dying. Preacher, I'm sure, would say the same thing. The worst things you ever do in your life, try and preach funeral for someone and you're pretty sure they didn't know Christ. You do what you're supposed to, say what you knew about the person, the family, you love them, then you run to the cross as fast as you can. There's nothing to do for whoever's in the coffin, but you can do something for those living. They preached your last fall. Yeah. You were always sure you were going to be healed. No, I really wasn't. 30 days in a row, I went to bed sitting in a chair because I couldn't lay down. 30 days, I went to bed, and I closed my eyes and said, I'll see you in the morning, Jesus. In 30 days, I woke up, and I was surprised. Finally quit doing it. My wife found out what I was doing. She's like, don't do that. And since she was able to whoop me at the time, I stopped doing it. Are you being silly? I wasn't being silly. Pretty sure I was going to die. Once we figured out probably wasn't going to die right then, I'd start being nicer. Death worth dying. And a young person, they're over there and they're serving Jesus and they're not making much money, man. What a waste. No. That's a life worth living. That's a way to give themselves to the cause of Christ. That's absolutely, positively the thing. You want to have joy in your life? Get involved in a local church. Get involved serving. You be ready to meet Christ that way. He said, and if I keep alive, stay alive, it's because there's a church worth serving. Catch it there. Don't miss it. We go to verse 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, to keep on living, is more needful for you. And having this confidence, it's Paul saying, in fact, some of you with a study Bible open, it says Paul was confident he wasn't about to die. I don't think Paul was confident he wasn't about to die. I think Paul was confident these trumped up charges, the reason he was in prison in Rome, weren't going to stick. He knew he was going to make his case and the emperor's going to go and kick him out. And by the way, he would do that. Paul's going to have his fourth missionary journey. He's going to go as far as Gaul, France, it looks like. He's going to be able to do those things. I am confident in my own integrity that what they have lied about me is not going to come to pass and I'm going to be released. According to, he says, having this confidence, I know I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Remember the word furtherance, military advance? He used it again. I'm going to get to come to you and we're going to see the church at Philippi advance. Why you keep living? What's worth living for? See your church grow. See the kingdom of God advance. See people come to Christ. See things grow. See, well, I know we're building a new program and stuff out there. One, so the kids have something to do, but that's not the first issue. The second issue, the primary issue, is so people that are driving by and people go, hey, that's a church. It says they love kids and says they love young couples, and we're surrounded by young couples, And we want to get them here not so they can have fun, but so they can have faith. They can put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It is about the ministry and the mission. It's a church we're serving. If I stay alive, it's going to help and bless you because I want to have some fruit. I want to have some fruit. I've said it, man, I can't point to anybody. We've had people saved in church this year. I can't point to anybody I've seen go from death to life, you know, just personally, I got to do, and this is, I don't know how long it's been. I've talked to a lot of people about Christ. Got to have good conversation, great conversation about that Thursday morning. And, man, I don't want to hit December 31st if Jesus tarries and I stay alive. I don't want to hit December 31st and then go over for the year. In fact, I've asked God, I don't want to do that. I don't know how long it's been since I hadn't seen anybody that I've had a personal hand in not come to Christ. Paul said, if I stay alive, I intend to have some fruit. I intend to see some fruitful labor. Well, you want to be rejoicing? You want to join your life? Man, I want them to come to Christ. I want them to come to Christ. End of a service, you come up here and stand and kneel, and you're talking to God for your children. You talk to God for your spouse. Talk to God for your grandkids. You talk to God for your glory. God, to see them come to Christ. Man, you'll be the happiest person in the world when they come to Jesus. There's great joy when you see people pass from death unto life. Here's what we do. Instead of going, man, see people saved and see the church packed out and see the missionary causes advance and see all that. Instead of doing that, we're going, man, it's late. We got to buy a bigger clock. Man, you don't know how to tell time. Or the music wasn't very good today. Man, it's warm in there. It's cold in there. Can't believe we're having snacks again. Can't believe we hadn't been having snacks again. Why can't we do it? And you're just a consumer. All of a sudden, I'm not a consumer. I'm a conqueror. I'm a champion. Man, if I stay alive, I mean for the church to advance. Say, preacher, what do you want to do if God gives you another 6 years in the Arden Valley or start of our 6 year? What do you want to do? I want to see the cause of Christ advance. I want to see the cross be lifted up and Christ be exalted. He said there's a church worth serving. Warren Wiersbe says no matter how you look at it, nothing can steal a man's joy if he possesses the single-mindedness for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. One writer said it like this. He said there's a love for Christ for me to live is Christ. There's a longing for heaven, that is, for me to die is gain. And there's the labor that comes from building his church. Verse 25, he says, I want eternal fruit. If I live, I live to produce fruit in the church. If I keep living, I want to serve the Lord and build his church. He says, I want to evangelize. I want to see people come to Christ. I want to edify for your, again, verse 25, for your furtherance. Enjoy the faith. To what end? Verse 26, for God's glory. Look at it. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. Was he looking for him to go, Paul, Paul, Paul? Nope. He was looking for him to go, and worthy is the Lamb, seated on his throne, crowned with many crowns, raised victorious, high and lifted up. That's what they wanted. You want to be joyful? You want to be joyful? Cut off the junk you're listening to. Bothers me so bad. Number one song in the United States, excuse me, the world for the last 4 or 5 weeks. WAP, don't Google it. If you Google it, you'll be mad at me. Just ask your teenager about it. And if they know what it is, go break their phone. And it's obscene. Obscene. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not being preacher fuddy day. Obscene. Sitting on the charts. I couldn't get more than a few seconds into the music video. I try and keep up what's going on. I can tell you. You fill your mind with that. There's no rejoicing there. No rejoicing there. None. Zero. Zip. But to be in praise to him and to serve him and to see other people come to him, see other people come to him, the more you grow in Christ, the more joy you'll experience. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. That your rejoicing may be more abundant by my coming to you again. He says, I don't really care whether I'm in chains. I don't care whether I have detractors. I don't care whether I die. I don't really care where I live. All I care is that the gospel advances, that Christ is preached, that his name is glorified, and his church helps. That's the most fun you'll ever have, man, serving Jesus. most joy you'll ever have is being committed to the cause of Christ. Are you serving others? Paul says it's necessary. Don't check out. I cried last week. I thought about it again. Some of you that are newer here didn't get to know Gladys West. Gladys' husband became housebound and bedbound for several years. She had somebody come over on Tuesday morning. She'd go bowling. She'd leave bowling. She'd go by the grocery store. She'd go to the doctor. That was it. She was so happy. And we started putting service online 5 years ago. She had a ministry of sending cards and things. And Terry's picked that up. And doing such a good job. And she never put her own name. She'd send the cards and stuff. And she just put the church people call me and say, "Hey, thank you for the card." I go, "What are you talking about? I didn't send you a card." I figured out it was Gladys. Gladys' husband passed. She appeared in the morning. She looked at Andre. She said, "What can I do here?" Gladys is in her 80s. "Oh, we need a new Sunday school class." "I'm on it." 70 years difference. She's teaching Sunday school. Until she got so sick she couldn't. Mad as fire, she couldn't teach anymore. "What can I do?" She said, I turned her back. She was sending more cards. She was calling people. She was praying for people. "What can I do?" To the very last months of her life, she'd apologize for not doing more for Jesus. That's joy. That's joy. That's rejoicing. That's a life worth living and a death worth dying and God's church worth serving. Let me close. You've heard the prayer before. It's almost a poem by Patrick. Patrick was the evangelist who came to pagan Ireland and preached and literally helped save Ireland and Europe from just self-destruction in the midst of the slave trade, in the midst of all the problems. Patrick said, "As I rise today, may the strength of God pilot me, the power of God uphold me, the wisdom of God guide me. May the eye of God look before me, the ear of God hear me, the word of God speak for me. May the hand of God protect me, the way of God lie before me, the shield of God defend me, the host of God save me. May Christ shield me today, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit, Christ when I stand, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me." W.L. Thompson said, "Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fail. When I am sad, to him I go. No one can cheer me. So when I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Eternal things matter most. A life worth living, a death worth dying, and a church worth serving." Paul said, here it is. Here's 7-8 things how you can rejoice in difficult circumstances. Pray with me. Father, our heads are bowed, and God, you're speaking to our hearts. Oh, how I pray, Lord, even now, you'd convince us. You'd convince us of the truth of these verses. You can